welcome to PBF Public Radio, Radio Free America. This is episode number 76. I am Romeo 1 Oscar. All right, we're going to jump into a few things here real quick. Just an item here, people, to think about. I know a lot of people follow us that follow us on Instagram. A lot of people are getting zapped on Instagram. I have mentioned this many times. I think now more than ever, the chances of us being zapped are probably at their highest. The reality is that the controlled narrative does not want us to question what is going on in the media right now. The fact that there are so many statistical anomalies in what we're seeing in the votes, we're just supposed to shut up. The fact that votes just got shut down and then started back up, that people, court orders we saw coming out of Pennsylvania where lawyers are not allowed to go in and observe, and they're told that they're told essentially at the locations where they went in that the people there are going to assess the court order, that basically they're not going to follow the court order. It's a crazy world we're living in right now, and we're not supposed to discuss these things, apparently. Because even last night, I tuned in a bit to the news coverage on Fox News, just to check it out, because, you know, my opinion is that they blew it by calling Arizona so early. And it... Brett Baer, Martha McCallum, and I can't remember his name right now. It bugs me. It's the guy that lost his mind trying to get Trump to denounce white supremacy for the millionth time. Okay, anyway, I've mentioned this and I'm mentioning it again. Be prepared if you want to keep following us to understand that we might get zapped. I think that's just the reality of the situation. We're not going to stop sharing the things we do. Obviously, we're going to keep the more, perhaps, what do you want to say, the things that might be more inflammatory, we will probably be posting to our Telegram. Telegram is a messaging app. It is a secure messaging app. It was made by Russian dissidents who now live in the Caribbean somewhere. I can't remember, like St. Kitts or someplace like that. It is safe. It's banned in China. It's banned in India. It's banned in Iran. It's highly regulated in Russia, which essentially makes it banned. Just be prepared if you want to keep having truth. I talked to the guys too. I'm going to be looking at using other things. Yeah, we might use Parler, but I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not excited about Parler. It doesn't seem like it offers many security. It doesn't seem much different from what I have seen from other platforms if you want to leave the platform. So that, I just wanted to cover that. Okay, this morning, what do I know? I know that Georgia now has officially found enough votes to flip it over to Biden. I know that there was a report that came from apparently, I don't know if it was CNN specifically, 10 minutes afterwards, saying that the Attorney General of Georgia was not going to issue any more updates on votes at that point, which is interesting. It's an interesting choice to take if this is true. What else do I know? I know that a U.S. Postal Service worker in Erie, Pennsylvania contacted Project Veritas. Please go to Project Veritas and take a look on Thursday. And he said that his supervisor has demanded that all 8 ballots be postmarked for November 3rd election day. What did he say? All these ballots were coming in today, tomorrow, yesterday, are all supposed to be postmarked the 3rd. there was a whistleblower that came out in Michigan the day before, contacted Project Veritas. Please follow Project Veritas. Please go to their website. People say that Project Veritas has had all kinds of trouble. The only trouble they had was something they later got cleared on. They have won numerous lawsuits because it's lies being retold. The media is going to tell you lies. The media that's going to tell you there's no problem with our elections. That same media is going to talk about 4 years of how Russia caused people to vote improperly. Perhaps they hacked machines. You know, there were many different things that we heard following that. So don't trust the media. If we haven't emphasized that enough, we do now. I see a lot of people now, oh, I'm watching Fox News. What the hell happened to them? Fox News has been compromised for a long time. We've tried to warn you. What else do we know? We know that in Oregon, two counties voted to join Idaho. Rural counties, according to Forbes, two Oregon counties have passed a ballot measure that would require county officials to hold meetings about leaving the state to become part of Oregon. It's a movement called Move Oregon's Border for a Greater Idaho. Now, this was voters in rural counties, Union and Jefferson, Northern Oregon. They passed a ballot measure. The challenge is that neither of these two counties actually border Idaho. There were four counties that, according to Tom Vance on Twitter, there were four counties that voted. Douglas County, 43% yes, 57% no. Jefferson, 51 yes, 49 in favor. Union, 52 to 48 in favor. And Wallowa, less. Oh, it fell by greater than 50 votes. Okay. So just so you understand, what I understand historically, the last time that Oregon voted for a Republican was in 1984. And the last time that Idaho voted for a Democrat was in 1964. That was when Lyndon Johnson assumed the presidency after Kennedy was assassinated. People have said that vote was largely symbolic. What else do we know? Jimmy Kimmel has come out at the election, and he's shocked at the Trump vote total. I overestimated the American people. Nobody really cares, but I think it's hilarious that people in Hollywood think they can control us. The challenge is that many people do follow that. Let's see what else we know. Rip Grinnell, former acting DNI. Trump campaign is not being allowed to check ballots at Nevada polling stations. Ballots are not automatically legal ballots until they're checked. We are not being allowed to check, Grinnell, who is representing the Trump campaign, told reporters at an impromptu news conference in North Las Vegas. The Harry Reid machine recklessly threw ballots into the mail, and now we cannot check whether or not there are non-residents, which we have evidence publicly available, that you all in the media should be looking at. The non-residents have voted. That non-residents have voted. What else do we know? We know that Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who recently won re-election, said last night that he will donate $500,000 to President Trump's legal defense fund, and that the campaign is going to brief Senate Republicans about the election on Saturday. He had an interview on Sean Hannity's show last night, and he said, I quote, he helped Senate Republicans. We're going to pick up House votes. I'm going to donate $500,000 tonight to President Trump's legal fund. Another item. This comes from the Daily Caller. Democrats have so far failed to flip a single state legislative chamber and lost two. Democrats have so far failed to flip any state legislative chamber and have already lost both in New Hampshire as votes from 2020's election continue being counted. Heading into Tuesday, Republicans controlled 58 of 98 chambers, not including Nebraska's unicameral nonpartisan legislature. A couple other items to think about. Alaska, Trump leads by 30 points. They have not called Alaska for Trump. Trump leads North Carolina with all votes counted. They have not called North Carolina for Trump. Why are they doing this? Does that bother anyone besides this person talking Romeo 1 Oscar? Another thing to note from PJ Media, Trump, the quote, racist, won more minority votes than any GOP candidate since 1960. And what does the writer say in this? Everyone knows that Donald Trump's a racist. How do we know? Because media says so. That's how. Every single statement or off-the-cuff remark by Trump that could be deliberately misinterpreted or taken out of context or twisted into meaning something entirely different has been used to paint an ugly, racist picture of the president. With black Americans, it's worked. A poll earlier this year found 83% of blacks believe in Trump as a racist. How could they not, with every media outlet telling them it's so? Many prominent blacks in politics, entertainment, and sports reinforce the narrative every chance they get. The so-called leaders of the minority communities were violently opposed to Donald Trump's re-election. It was nearly unanimous. There were notable exceptions, but brave it was for any black or Hispanic notable to back Trump in public. As it turns out, many minority voters tuned out the anti-Trump noise and made an independent decision to back the president. From the New York Post, Team Trump and Republicans nationwide made unprecedented inroads with black and Hispanic voters. Nationally, preliminary numbers indicated that 26% of Trump's voting share came from non-white voters, the highest percentage for a GOP presidential candidate since 1960. In Florida's Miami-Dade County, the heartland of Cuban country, Trump turned a 30-plus point Hillary Clinton romp in 2016 into a narrow single-digit Joe Biden win. Texas Starr County, overwhelmingly Mexican-American, and positioned in the heart of Rio Grande Valley, barely delivered for the Democrats. Biden's Hispanic support in other key swing states like Ohio and Georgia tallied off from Clinton's 2016 benchmarks. We did see that Trump improved in those areas, but we also see that Trump fell 5%, 5 points with white men. Very interesting, isn't it? While Trump is trying to break the critical theory stranglehold in our education system, which labels white men as evil, the white men went that way, while the minorities went over to Trump. I don't know, guys. You know, here's a little piece that's something to consider too as well. Why does Biden have so many more votes than Democrat senators in swing states? This comes from Zero Hedge. In most elections, the majority of votes are cast down the ticket, meaning a voter supports both parties' presidential nominee and state congressional candidates. In fact, according to Pew Research, overwhelmingly shares of voters who are supporting Trump and Biden say they are also supporting the same party candidate for Senate. Typically, this means that the number of votes for a presidential candidate and the party Senate candidates are relatively close. Twitter user US Rebel, however, found the number of votes cast for Joe Biden far exceeds those cast for the state's Senate candidates and swing states, while those cast for Trump and GOP senators remains far closer. In Michigan, for example, there was a difference of just 7,131 votes between Trump and GOP candidate John James. Yet, the difference between Joe Biden and Democrat candidate Gary Peters was a staggering 69,303. In Georgia, there was an 118 vote difference between Trump and GOP senator versus a 95,000 difference between Joe Biden and Democrat candidate for senator. Yet in two non-swing states, there was no massive flood of mysterious empty Biden votes, leading U.S. rebels to suggest it's fraud. In Wyoming, the difference on the Democrat side is just 725 votes, while in Montana, the difference is 27,457. So some of the numbers here. This is from U.S. Rebel, U.S. Rebellion 7076, Twitter vote stuffing, patterns in swing states with Senate races, Michigan, Trump, 2,637,173, GOP Senator, 2,630,042, difference 7,131, Biden, 2,787,544, Democrat Senator, 2,718,451. That's a difference of 69,093. When you account for third-party vote, seems like tens of thousands of mysterious Biden votes with no down tickets. Check out a non-swing state like Wyoming. Trump, 193,454. GOP Senator, 197,961. Difference, 4,507. Biden, 73,445. Democrat Senator, 72,720. Difference, 725. No massive flood of mysterious empty Biden votes. And he says it's fraud. The Democrats are committing voter fraud in swing states. Another control state, which Dems aren't currently trying to steal. Montana, Trump, 340,635. GOP Senator, 330,317. Difference, 10,378. Stable numbers for GOP when you only factor in third-party vote. No mysterious Biden-only votes like the swings. So, as Zero Hedge goes on to say, what's going on here? If it were never Trumpers pairing Biden with GOP congressional picks, if so, we should expect fewer votes for Trump than GOP senators. We are open to suggestions, as are we. These are things that stand out and do not make sense, my friends. These are all over the place, and they occurred in every state that shut down their votes. Can you imagine? They shut down their votes. Now, where's the DOJ on this? I am very curious. I know yesterday I was very concerned because I wasn't seeing what I thought was action by our GOP senators. We do see that Senator Graham has stepped up. We also know that Ted Cruz has made waves and Senator Tom Cotton has made statements. I did see on Tucker Carlson's show last night that Josh Hawley made statements. They seemed rather canned statements. I wasn't impressed with what he had to say. Now, on that DOJ information, I found an interesting piece that Fog City Midge posted up on Twitter. This is a discussion which Bill Barr was having with Wolf Blitzer. Let's listen to what he says. This is about a minute long.
The bipartisan commission chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker said back in 2009 that mail-in voting is fraught with the risk of fraud and coercion. In the newspapers, in networks, academic studies saying it is open to fraud and coercion. The only time the narrative changed is after this administration came in. The elections that have been held with mail have found substantial fraud and coercion.
As far as widespread fraud, we haven't seen that since...
We haven't had the kind of widespread use of mail-in ballots as being proposed. We've had absentee ballots from people who request them from a specific address. Now what we're talking about is mailing them to everyone on the voter list when everyone knows those voter lists are inaccurate. People trying to change the rules to this methodology, which as a matter of logic is very open to fraud and coercion, is reckless and dangerous. And the people are playing with fire.
So while we are not on the surface seeing things going on with the DOJ, I doubt that Bill Barr would be sitting back and not doing anything. I can't confirm that because I'm not Bill Barr. I don't work for the Department of Justice. I would prefer that I do not know what they're doing. I'd rather they keep that under a tight lid. That simultaneously does create a very uncomfortable situation because we don't know what's going on. And we would like to know what is going on. There is a paper that I posted up to our Telegram. And it is titled from August 9th, 2020, by John R. Lott. Why do most countries ban mail-in ballots? They have seen massive voter fraud. The abstract is, 37 states have so far changed their mail-in voting procedures this year in response to the coronavirus, despite frequent claims that President Trump's warning about vote fraud, vote buying with mail-in ballots as baselessly or without evidence about mail-in fraud, there are numerous examples of vote fraud and vote buying with mail-in ballots in the United States across the world. Indeed, concerns over voter fraud and vote buying with mail-in ballots caused the vast majority of countries to ban mail-in voting unless the citizen is living abroad. There are fraud problems with mail-in absentee ballots, but the problem with universal mail-in ballots are much more significant. Yet most countries ban even absentee ballots for people living in their countries. Most developed countries ban absentee ballots unless the citizen is living abroad or require photo IDs to obtain the ballots. Even higher percentages of European Union or European countries ban absentee for in-country voters. In addition, some countries have allowed voting by mail for citizens living in the country, but don't allow it for everyone. For example, Japan and Poland have limited mail-in voting to those who have special certificates verifying they are disabled. France has made an exception this year to ban the absentee ballots to those who are sick or in particular risk during the coronavirus pandemic. Poland and two cities in Russia have adopted mail-in ballots for elections this year only, but most countries haven't changed their regulations. France banned absentee voting in 1975 because of massive voter fraud in Corsica, where postal ballots were stolen or bought and voters cast multiple votes. Mail-in ballots were used to cast the votes of dead people. Examples for other countries are provided. So we are consistently told that we should look towards Europe for many things, but I suppose in this instance here, we shouldn't be looking towards them because that would not fit the narrative. A very important quote. Last year, The Atlantic put out an article regarding a North Carolina vote. This is from February 22nd, 2019. North Carolina had no choice. A House election tainted by fraud gets its inevitable do-over. The decision came after a dramatic day during a dramatic hearing in a dramatic race. North Carolina election officials on Thursday ordered a new election in the state's fraud-tainted 9th congressional district, the only 2018 U.S. House race that still doesn't have a winner. The contest between Republican Mark Harris and Democrat Dan McCready appears to have been decided, albeit by a small margin, in Harris' favor on election night. Now voters will remain without congressional representation until a new election is held, following shocking revelations of a brazen scheme to break the law and swing the election using absentee ballots, they were going to use absentee ballots to swing the election. Hasn't social media told us that this doesn't happen? There's a very, very important quote in this. And this is from The Atlantic. The problem is that due to historical absentee ballot fraud, the state has unusually complete public records about absentee ballots, and just statistics showed highly anomalous results in Bladen County. But we're told this never happens, aren't we? Yes, we are. But The Atlantic in 2019 tells us a different story. And they say specifically, the problem is that due to historical absentee ballot fraud. How could that be? Continuing with the theme, one last little piece. This comes from the Future of Freedom Foundation. Don't forget LBJ's Election Theft by Jacob Hornberger. So, again, people suggest that there's no problem with mail-in ballots or even a post-election receiving the mail-in ballots, right? So apparently people that say this are not familiar with the election theft case of Lyndon Johnson, who would go on to become president of the United States. The entire matter is detailed in Robert Caro's second book in his biographical series on Johnson. The book is entitled Means of Ascent. Johnson election theft took place in 1948 when he was running for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate against Texas Governor Coke Stevenson, one of the most admired and respected governors in the state. In the primary election, Stevenson led Johnson by 70,000 votes, but because he didn't have a majority of the votes, he was forced into a runoff. The runoff was held on a Saturday. On the Sunday morning after the runoff, Stevenson was leading by 854 votes. As a New York Times review of Caro's account stated, the day after the runoff election, it was discovered that the returns of a particular county had not been counted. The newly discovered votes were overwhelmingly in favor of Johnson. That sounds like something we've heard recently, like in Philadelphia, where 23,000 plus votes are overwhelmingly for Biden. Then on Monday, more returns came in from the Rio Grande Valley. Nonetheless, on Tuesday, the State Election Bureau announced that Stevenson had won by 349 votes. Nothing changed on Wednesday and Thursday after the election. On Friday, precincts in the Rio Grande Valley made corrections to their tallies, which narrowed Stevenson's lead to 157. But also on Friday, Jim Wells County, which was governed as a personal fiefdom by a powerful South Texas rancher named George Parr, filed amended returns for what has become famous as Box 13 that gave Johnson another 200 votes. When all was said and done, Johnson had won the election by 87 votes. It was later discovered that one of Parr's men had changed the tally for Johnson from 765 to 965 simply by curling a 7 into a 9. Where did the extra 200 votes come from? The last 202 names on the election roll in Box 13 were in a different color ink from the rest of the names. The names were in alphabetical order, and they were all in the same handwriting. When Caro was researching his book, he secured a statement from Luis Salas, an election judge in Jim Wells County, who acknowledged the fraud and confessing his role in it. As the Washington Post reported, to investigate what obviously appeared quite suspicious, Stevenson employed the assistance of Frank Hamer, the Texas Ranger who had trapped and killed Bonnie and Clyde. It was to no avail. Johnson got a friendly state judge to issue an injunction preserving the status quo, after which the Democratic Executive Committee by one vote declared Johnson the winner. Stevenson took the matter to federal court, but the Supreme Court punted, declaring that it had no right to interfere with the state election. So Lyndon Johnson stole the election and ended up going to Washington as Texas U.S. Senator. Ironically, if Stevenson had become the state's senator instead, Johnson would never have been selected to be John Kennedy's vice presidential running mate, and consequently would never have been president. Yes, this is history. This is true. These things happen. Don't believe the lies of our lying media. And to further emphasize what I said early on, do you guys know who Mark Levin is? Has a show on Fox, has a show on Blaze TV, has a radio show. His Facebook page was shut down. Mark Levin did put out some important information yesterday, reminding Republican legislatures in states, these swing states that are cooking the books. Remember, it is actually the legislatures that send the electorates to the Capitol. Obviously, this will be called stealing the election, but what they could do is they could select specific Republican individuals to go to D.C. and vote how they want. Just an interesting little twist. But, you know, he's not on Facebook anymore because the overlords on Facebook do not want him spreading such information. But see, that is actual truth. This is what can happen. Remember, if the roles were reversed and it was a Democrat saying that, this would be allowed. And I know many people who listen to us right now, I've received messages from people and they're telling me that they're just really not sure, can we pull through? I don't know if we can pull through. I know that we need to fight. I know it's not time to quit. I think the important thing too, though, is don't become exclusively fixated on what's going on here. I find myself at times doing that, but the important thing is to find other things to preoccupy yourself with. Take care of yourself, exercise, eat right. That's very key, very important. Get your sleep. Take care of yourselves. It's a long haul battle. And I have no doubt in my mind that there's fraud going on in this election. I don't know where it all is. I know I don't like many of the things that I've seen. And we are being told that you are not supposed to question these things. And what is the problem with recounting votes if there's a question about the votes? Particularly in the manner in which these were done. If you are concerned about these things, I suggest you find out who your senators are, your representatives in the House of Representatives. I suggest you contact them and let them know how you feel. If you live in these swing states, I suggest you contact your representatives there if you have an issue with what you're seeing. Take control of this as best as you can. Input where your input will be heard. This is Romeo 1 Oscar, out.